Chapter 22. Very scurvy piece. The reason I tell you so is because it was done by your parson slap, scrap, flap, what do you call him, trap, 5, your chancellor's chaplain. Tis called a character of the present set of wits, and is going to be printed, and no doubt the author will take care to produce it in Ireland. Dr. Frayne was with me, and pulled out a twopenny pamphlet just published, called The State of Wit, 6, giving a character of all the papers that have come out of late. The author seems to be a Whig, yet he speaks very highly of a paper called The Examiner, and says the supposed author of it is Dr. Swift. But above all things he praises the Tatlers and Spectators, and I believe Steele and Addison were privy to the printing of it. Thus is one treated by these impudent dogs. And that villain Curl 7 has scraped up some trash, and calls it Dr. Swift's miscellanies, with the name at large. And I can get no satisfaction of him. Nay, Mr. Harley told me he had read it, and only laughed at me before Lord Keeper and the rest. Since I came home, I have been sitting with the prolocutor, Dean Atterbury, who is my neighbor over the way, but generally keeps in town with his convocation. Tis late, etc. 15. My walk to town today was after 10, and prodigiously hot. I dined with Lord Shelburne, and have desired Mrs. Pratt, who lodges there, to carry over Mrs. Wall's tea. I hope she will do it, and they talk of going in a fortnight. My way is this. I leave my best gown and periwig at Mrs. Van Homry's, then walk up the Pall Mall, through the park, out at Buckingham House, and so to Chelsea a little beyond the church. I set out about sunset, and get here in something less than an hour. It is 2 good miles, and just 5,748 steps. So there is 4 miles a day walking, without reckoning what I walk, while I stay in town. When I pass the mall in the evening, it is prodigious to see the number of ladies walking there, and I always cry shame at the ladies of Ireland, who never walk at all, as if their legs were of no use, but to be laid aside. I have been now almost 3 weeks here, and I thank God, am much better in my head, if it does but continue. I tell you what, if I was with you, when we went to Stoyt at Donnybrook, we would only take a coach to the hither end of Stephen's Green, and from thence go every step on foot, yes, faith, every step. It would do DD 8, good as well as presto. 9, everybody tells me I look better already. 4, faith, I look sadly, that is certain. My breakfast is milk porridge. I do not love it. Faith, I hate it, but it is cheap and wholesome, and I hate to be obliged to either of those qualities for anything. 10, 16. I wonder why Presto will be so tedious in answering MD's letters, because he would keep the best to the last, I suppose. Well, Presto must be humored, it must be as he will have it, or there will be an old to-do. 11, dead with heat, are not you very hot? My walks make my forehead sweat rarely, sometimes my morning journey is by water, as it was today with one Parson Richardson. 12, who came to see me, on his going to Ireland, and with him, I send Mrs. Wall's tea, and 3 books. 13, I got from the Lords of the Treasury for the college. I dined with Lord Shelburne today, Lady Carey and Mrs. Pratt are going likewise for Ireland. Lord, I forgot, I dined with Mr. Pryor today, at his house, with Dean Atterbury and others, and came home pretty late, and I think I'm in a fuzz, and don't know what I say, never saw the like. 17. Stern came here by water, to see me this morning, and I went back with him to his boat. He tells me that Mrs. Edgeworth, 14, married a fellow in her journey to Chester. So I believe she little thought of anybody's box but her own. I desired Stern to give me directions, where to get the box in Chester, which he says he will tomorrow, and I will write to Richardson, to get it up there as he goes by, and whip it over. It is directed to Mrs. Curry. You must caution her of it, and desire her to send it you when it comes. Stern says Jemmy Lee loves London mightily, that makes him stay so long, I believe, and not Stern's business, which Mr. Harley's accident has put much backward. We expect now every day that he will be Earl of Oxford and Lord Treasurer. His patent is passing, but, they say, Lord Keeper's not yet. At least his son, young Harcourt, told me so t'other day. I dined today privately with my friend Lewis at his lodgings at Whitehall. T'other day at Whitehall I met a lady of my acquaintance, whom I had not seen before, since I came to England. We were mighty glad to see each other, and as he has engaged me to visit her, as I design to do. It is one Mrs. College. As he has lodgings at Whitehall, having been seamstress to King William, worth 300 a year. Her father was a fanatic joiner, 15, hanged for treason in Shaftesbury's plot. This noble person and I were brought acquainted, some years ago, by Lady Berkeley. 16, I love good creditable acquaintance. I love to be the worst of the company. I am not of those that say, for want of company, welcome trumpery. I was this evening with Lady Carey and Mrs. Pratt at Vauxhall, to hear the nightingales, but they are almost past singing. 18. I was hunting the secretary today in vain about some business, and dined with Colonel Crowe, late governor of Barbados. 17, and dear friend Stern was the third. He is very kind to Stern, and helps him in his business, which lies asleep till Mr. Harley is Lord Treasurer, because nothing of moment is now done in the Treasury, the change being expected every day. I sat with Dean Atterbury till 1 o'clock, after I came home, so 'tis late, etc. 19. Do you know that about our town we are mowing already and making hay, and it smells so sweet as we walk through the flowery meads? But the hay-making nymphs are perfect draps, nothing so clean and pretty as farther in the country. There is a mighty increase of dirty wenches in straw hats, since I knew London. I stayed at home till 5 o'clock, and dined with Dean Atterbury, then went by water to Mr. Harley's, where the Saturday Club was met, with the addition of the Duke of Shrewsbury. I whispered Lord Rivers that I did not like to see a stranger among us, and the rogue told it aloud. But Mr. Secretary said the Duke writ to have leave, so I appeared satisfied, and so we left. Mr. Secretary told me the Duke of Buckingham, 18, had been talking to him much about me, and desired my acquaintance. I answered it could not be, for he had not made sufficient advances. Then the Duke of Shrewsbury said he thought that Duke was not used to make advances. I said I could not help that, for I always expected advances in proportion to men's quality, and more from a Duke than any other man. The Duke replied that he did not mean anything of his quality, which was handsomely said enough, for he meant his pride. And I have invented a notion to believe that nobody is proud. At 10 all the company went away, and from 10 to 12 Mr. Harley and I sat together, where we talked through a great deal of matters I had a mind to settle with him, and then walked in a fine moonshine night to Chelsea, where I got by 1. Lord Rivers conjured me not to walk so late, but I would, because I had no other way, but I had no money to lose. 20. By what the Lord Keeper told me last night, I find he will not be made appear so soon, but Mr. Harley's patent for Earl of Oxford is now drawing, and will be done in 3 days. We made him own it, which he did scurvily, and then talked of it like the rest. Mr. Secretary had too much company with him today, so I came away soon after dinner. I give no man liberty to swear, or talk b-die, and I found some of them were in constraint, so I left them to themselves. I wish you a merry Whitsuntide, and pray tell me how you pass away your time. But, faith, you are going to Wexford, and I fear this letter is too late. It shall go on Thursday, and sooner it cannot, I have so much business, to hinder me answering yours. Where must I direct in your absence? Do you quit your lodgings? 21. Going to town this morning, I met in the Pall Mall a clergyman of Ireland, whom I love very well, and was glad to see, and with him a little jackanapes, of Ireland too, who married Nanny Swift, Uncle Adam's 19th daughter, one Perry. Perhaps you may have heard of him. His wife has sent him here to get a place from Lowndes. 20, because my uncle and Lowndes married two sisters, and Lowndes is a great man here in the Treasury, but by good luck I have no acquaintance with him. However, he expected I should be his friend to Lowndes, and one word of mine, etc., the old cant. But I will not go 2 yards to help him. I dined with Mrs. Van Omri, where I keep my best gown and periwig, to put on when I come to town, and be a spark. 22. I dined today in the city, and coming home this evening, I met Sir Thomas Mansell and Mr. Lewis in the park. Lewis whispered me that Mr. Harley's patent for the Earl of Oxford was passed in Mr. Secretary St. John's office, so tomorrow or next day, I suppose, he will be declared Earl of Oxford, and have the staff. 21. This man has grown by persecutions, turnings out, and stabbing. What waiting, and crowding, and bowing will be at his levee. Yet, if human nature be capable of so much constancy, I should believe he will be the same man still, baiting the necessary forms of grandeur he must keep up. 'Tis late, sirs, and I'll go sleep. 23. Morning. I sat up late last night, and waked late today, but will now answer your letter in bed, before I go to town, and I will send it tomorrow. For perhaps you mayn't go so soon to Wexford. No, you are not out in your number. The last was number 14, and so I told you twice or thrice. Will you never be satisfied? What shall we do for poor Stella? Go to Wexford, for God's sake. I wish you were to walk there by 3 miles a day, with a good lodging at every mile's end. Walking has done me so much good, that I cannot but prescribe it often to poor Stella. Parvisel has sent me a bill for £50, which I am sorry for, having not written to him for it, only mentioned it 2 months ago, but I hope he will be able to pay you what I have drawn upon him for. He never sent me any sum before, but one bill of £20 half a year ago. You are welcome as my blood to every farthing I have in the world. And all that grieves me is, I am not richer, for MD's sake, as hope saved. 22. I suppose you give up your lodgings when you go to Wexford, yet that will be inconvenient too. Yet I wish again you were under a necessity of rambling the country until Michaelmas, faith. No, let them keep the shelves, with a pox, yet they are exacting people about those 4 weeks, or Mrs. Brent may have the shelves, if she please. I am obliged to your dean for his kind offer of lending me money. Will that be enough to say? 100 people would lend me money, or to any man who has not the reputation of a squanderer. Oh, faith, I should be glad to be in the same kingdom with M.D., however, although you are at Wexford. But I am kept here by a most capricious fate, which I would break through, if I could do it with decency or honor. To return without some mark of distinction would look extremely little, and I would likewise gladly be somewhat richer than I am. I will say no more, but beg you to be easy till fortune take her course, and to believe that MD's felicity is the great end I aim at in all my pursuits. And so let us talk no more on this subject, which makes me melancholy, and that I would fain divert. Believe me, no man breathing at present has less share of happiness in life than I. I do not say I am unhappy at all, but that everything here is tasteless to me for want of being as I would be. And so, a short sigh, and no more of this. Well, come and let's see what's next, young women. Pox take Mrs. Edgeworth and Stern. I will take some methods about that box. What orders would you have me give about the picture? Can't you do with it, as if it were your own? No, I hope Manley will keep his place, for I hear nothing of Sir Thomas Frankland's losing his. Send nothing under cover to Mr. Addison, but O. Erasmus Lewis Esquire, semicolon at my Lord Dartmouth's office at Whitehall. Direct your outside so. Poor dear Stella, don't write in the dark, nor in the light neither, but dictate to Dingley. She is a naughty healthy girl, and may drudge for both. Are you good company together? And don't you quarrel too often? Pray love one another, and kiss one another just now, as Dingley is reading this. For you quarreled this morning just after Mrs. Marget, 23, had poured water on Stella's head. I heard the little bird say so. Well, I have answered everything in your letter that required it, and yet the second side is not full. I'll come home at night, and say more, and tomorrow this goes for certain. Go, get you gone to your own chambers, and let Presto rise like a modest gentleman, and walk to town. I fancy I begin to sweat less in the forehead by constant walking than I used to do, but then I shall be so sunburned, the ladies will not like me. Come, let me rise, sirs. Morrow. At night. I dined with Ford today at his lodgings, and I found wine out of my own cellar, some of my own chest of the great Duke's wine. It begins to turn. They say wine with you in Ireland is half a crown a bottle. 'Tis as Stella says, nothing that once grows dear in Ireland ever grows cheap again, except corn, with a pox, to ruin the parson. I had a letter today from the Archbishop of Dublin, giving me further thanks about vindicating him to Mr. Harley and Mr. St. John, and telling me a long story about your mayor's election, 24, wherein I find he has had a finger, and given way to further talk about him, but we know nothing of it here yet. This walking to and fro, and dressing myself, takes up so much of my time, that I cannot go among company, so much as formerly. Yet what must a body do? I thank God I yet continue much better, since I left the town. I know not how long it may last. I am sure it has done me some good for the present. I do not totter as I did, but walk firm as a cock, only once or twice for a minute, I do not know how, but it went off, and I never followed it. Does Dingley read my hand as well as ever, do you, sir? Poor Stella must not read Presto's ugly small hand. Preserve your eyes, if you be wise. Your friend Wall's tea will go in a day or two towards Chester by one Parson Richardson. My humble service to her, and to good Mrs. Stoyt, and Catherine, and pray walk, while you continue in Dublin. I expect your next, but one will be from Wexford. God bless dearest M.D. 24. Morning. Mr. Secretary has sent his groom hither, to invite me to dinner today, etc. God Almighty forever bless and preserve you both, and give you health, etc. Amen. Farewell, etc. Do not I often say the same thing two or three times in the same letter, sir? Great wits, they say, have but short memories. That's good vile conversation. Letter 24. Chelsea, May 24, 1711. Morning. Once in my life the number of my letters, and of the day of the month is the same. That's lucky, boys. That's a sign, that things will meet, and that we shall make a figure together. What, will you still have the impudence to say London, England, because I say Dublin, Ireland? Is there no difference between London and Dublin, saucer boxes? I have sealed up my letter, and am going to town. Morrow, sirs. At night. I dined with the secretary to dash day. We sat down between 5 and 6. Mr. Harley's patent passed this morning. He is now Earl of Oxford, Earl Mortimer, and Lord Harley of Wigmore Castle. My letter was sealed, or I would have told you this yesterday, but the public news may tell it you. The Queen, for all her favor, has kept a rod, one, for him in her closet this week. I suppose he will take it from her, though, in a day or two. At 8 o'clock this evening it rained prodigiously, as it did from 5. However, I set out, and in halfway the rain lessened, and I got home, but tolerably wet. And this is the first wet walk I have had in a month's time, that I am here, but, however, I got to bed, after a short visit to Atterbury. 25. It rained this morning, and I went to town by water, and Ford and I dined with Mr. Lewis by appointment. I ordered Patrick to bring my gown and periwig to Mr. Lewis, because I designed to go to see Lord Oxford, and so I told the dog. But he never came, though I stayed an hour longer than I appointed. So I went in my old gown, and sat with him 2 hours, but could not talk over some business I had with him. So he has desired me to dine with him on Sunday, and I must disappoint the secretary. My lord set me down at a coffee house, where I waited for the Dean of Carlisle's chariot to bring me to Chelsea, for it has rained prodigiously all this afternoon. The Dean did not come himself, but sent me his chariot, which has cost me 2 shillings to the coachman, and so I am got home, and Lord knows what has become of Patrick. I think I must send him over to you, for he is an intolerable rascal. If I had come without a gown, he would have served me so, though my life and preferment should have lain upon it. And I am making a livery for him will cost me £4, but I will order the tailor tomorrow to stop till further orders. My Lord Oxford can't yet abide to be called Why Lord, and when I called him Why Lord, he called me Dr. Thomas Swift, too, which he always does when he has a mind to tease me. By a second hand, he proposed my being his chaplain, which I by a second hand excused, but we had no talk of it today. But I will be no man's chaplain alive. But I must go and be busy. 26. I never saw Patrick till this morning, and that only once, for I dressed myself without him, and when I went to town he was out of the way. I immediately sent for the tailor, and ordered him to stop his hand in Patrick's clothes till further orders. Oh, if it were in Ireland, I should have turned him off 10 times ago, and it is no regard to him, but myself, that has made me keep him so long. Now I am afraid to give the rogue his clothes. What shall I do? I wish MD were here to entreat for him, just here at the bedside. Lady Ashburnham, 3, has been engaging me this long time to dine with her, and I set a day apart for it, and whatever was the mistake, she sent me word she was at dinner and undressed, but would be glad to see me in the afternoon. So I dined with Mrs. Van Homry, and would not go to see her at all, in a huff. My fine Florence is turning sour with a vengeance, and I have not drunk half of it. As I was coming home tonight, Sir Thomas Mansell and Tom Harley, 4, met me in the park, and made me walk with them till 9, like unreasonable whelps, so I got not here till 10. But it was a fine evening, and the footpath clean enough already after this hard rain. 27. Going this morning to town, I saw 2 old lame fellows, walking to a brandy shop, and when they got to the door, stood a long time complimenting who should go in first. Though this be no jest to tell, it was an admirable one to see. I dined today with my Lord Oxford and the ladies, the new Countess, and Lady Betty, 5, who has been these 3 days a lady born. My Lord left us at 7, and I had no time to speak to him about some affairs, but he promises in a day or two we shall dine alone, which is mighty likely, considering we expect every moment that the Queen will give him the staff, and then he will be so crowded he will be good for nothing. For aught I know he may have it tonight at council. 28. I had a petition sent me t'other day from one Stephen Jernan, setting forth that he formerly lived with Harry Tennyson, 6, who gave him an employment of gauger, and that he was turned out after Harry's death, and came for England, and is now starving, or, as he expresses it, that the staff of life has been of late a stranger to his appetite. Today the poor fellow called, and I knew him very well, a young slender fellow with freckles in his face. You must remember him. He waited at table as a better sort of servant. I gave Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.